Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Check in the Inbox, where we answer questions about COVID, comparisons, and our little co-stars. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 184. Hi, Shauna.
Hi.
Hello, hello. As you can hear, I'm still not 100% with my stupid voice.
Oh, you poor thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. And I don't know. Anyway, listeners, I hope you're not too upset with my voice. It's just like I can get a little higher now, but not like super high. But that's progress, right?
That's good. Yes, that's progress.
Yeah. But enough about me and my voice. You are the first one to do your check-in this week. And I want to know how you guys are doing. How are your girls? What's going on with you?
Oh, we're great. And the big news here is that Cece turned 3 years old.
That's right. I knew that she turned 3 years old this week. I sent her a little gift in the mail.
Yeah. Thank you for that. So yeah, my little baby is 3 years old now, and I don't think I can call her a toddler anymore. It just doesn't feel right. So, and she's not technically in preschool, so what do I call her?
She's a pre-preschooler.
Yeah, there you
go. Proto-schooler.
Proto-schooler. Oh my gosh. But yeah, we had a great time for her birthday. Her birthday was on Friday and Elle was in school and I took the day off because I wanted to focus on Cece. And so she and I went to the LA Zoo together by ourselves and had a great mommy-daughter day together at the zoo.
That's so fun. I haven't been to the zoo for a long time, at least since Sebastian was born. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm angling to get a zoo membership for Christmas. I guess I'll know. By the time this episode comes out, I'll know if I got one.
I hope so.
Yeah, because I want to go with you guys.
Yeah, we got a zoo membership in the summer and it's great. So we just used our cards and just went right in. And it's really beautiful there right now. They have a lot of trees that change color and lose leaves. And like the whole area near the playground, they have like a kid's playground towards the back, was just like covered in yellow leaves. And it was so pretty. And the animals were out because it was a cool day. And yeah, we got to sit like inches away from a gorilla because it was just chilling right next to the plexiglass in its cage. And there was just like a little wall right next to it. And I don't know. We just sat right there and like looked it in the eyes. And I think Cece was a little scared of the gorilla, but I was in awe. Gorillas just are always my favorite things to see at the zoo.
I think that if she wasn't scared of the gorilla, like, you need to check and make sure that her instincts are working. Because, like, yeah, you're supposed to be afraid of a gorilla that's inches away from you.
Yeah, yeah. It's like six times bigger than she is.
You know, that's reminding me that when we went to the zoo ages ago, we just happened to come when the mama gorilla had like a 6 week old baby gorilla and we got to see it. It was so special.
That's so cool. One of the gorillas did have a baby this time too, but they were far away, like back at towards the back of the pen. So I just got to see it like, you know, bouncing around. Then it came in for a hug and it was really sweet, but we didn't get a close up view of that one.
Oh, but still cute that you got to see it even from far away.
Yeah, totally. And the one thing Cece wanted to see, like when I first got there, I was like, what do you want to see? She's like, zebras. I'm like, okay, zebras. And somehow we like went the opposite way of zebras at the beginning and like went all around the zoo and like at the very last minute I was like, oh no, we need to leave because we have to go pick up Elle from school. I'm like, but we gotta see the zebras. So we're like running towards the zebras and we got to take a look at the zebras at the very last second.
Oh good.
So it was a successful visit.
Oh good, because like at the LA Zoo, if you go the wrong way, it's a hike to try to find. I mean, it's like actually a hike. It's uphill half the way. Uh-huh. Like, it's a really big place, a really big area. So I'm glad you made it. I thought you were going to say, and then we hiked for like 3 hours and couldn't find it.
No, I knew where the zebras were because I had been to the zoo before recently. We just didn't get there till the very end. So that was really fun. We went to Minchie's and got ice cream with the family afterwards. And then that weekend for her party, you know, I had agonized over what to do about her party because we didn't want to have a lot of people over. I didn't really want to do it in a park because just I'm lazy and don't want to drag everything there. and I had checked in with you and I knew that you were out of town that weekend. And so I was like, you know, I think I'm just going to change plans for what to do for her party. It's not going to be big at all. And all I did was invite two families who we've gotten to know in our neighborhood and we go on play dates with them, right? They have a little girl, Cece's age and stuff. And I just invited them over and we did it in the backyard and it was perfect. It was so fun. There was like no pressure to like impress people for a huge party because you know how I am. Like I, all the parties we've had before, I've had tons of people and I'm like, I've got to make the perfect cake and the perfect decorations. And I still did make the perfect cake for this one, but the pressure was off and I just got to talk to everyone and the kids had a blast. It was like a big play date in the backyard and
that's
it was
great.
Super fun.
Yeah. That sounds perfect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a problem with Cece's birthday, which is that it is the day after my mom's birthday.
Yes.
My mom has been like trumping Cece's birthday for the last couple of years and I feel bad about it. But, you know,
it's okay.
What can
it's
you
your
do?
Mom.
It's my
I
mom.
I get it. I get it. Yeah. And we had like a Paw Patrol pinata. I set up like a table of kinetic sand. Like I set out a bunch of activities for the kids to do. We just ordered pizza and ate cake and it was lovely. So if any listeners out there are thinking, should I just keep it small for my kid's birthday this year? I say go for it because it's actually really nice.
I am listeners asking that right now.
Yeah, so I'm here to say it's all good.
All right. Yeah, because Augie's birthday is coming up and I'm sort of totally on the fence about what to do. And so, yeah, I think keeping it small might be the way to go.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's our big check-in for the week. Fun week. Fun. My little girl is now a pseudo preschooler and... Yeah, we're all good. What about you? How are you doing?
Yeah, we're good. So as you mentioned, we went out of town and I'll get to that in a second. We went out of town for my mom's 75th birthday.
Wow.
But first, we actually have some pretty big Augie news around here.
Ooh, okay.
He is a month away from being three, as everyone knows, because our kids are a month apart.
Right.
And this week, while we were like watching him on the monitor doing quiet time, we noticed that he was just very casually climbing in and out of his crib. Like it was nothing, you know, just like, oh, I want to grab my toy that's in my crib. Let me just throw my leg up over the side and get in and play in there for a little bit. And now I'm going to climb right back out of it again.
Oh,
It was completely zero barrier. He was having no problem getting in and out. So we figured, or rather I figured, that it was high time to switch him out of a crib and into a toddler bed.
Yeah. All right. You made the switch. Tell us about it.
We made the switch. So I was primed for it to be really, really difficult based on many people's experiences, including yours. I remember when you first moved Cece out of her crib way back when she was what? How old was she? Like 18 months?
18 months, yes.
Oh, Shauna.
It went fine for like 6 months.
That's true. I mean, yeah, that is totally true. But I know that there have been like regressions and problems, and I've heard from so many friends about how like the minute they moved their kid to a toddler bed or a big kid bed, they were just like up and out of the bed like 100 times a night and having so much trouble falling asleep. And I just was like not wanting to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I knew we had to do it because obviously he had no problem getting in and out and it was still a safety issue, even though we had the Nugget next to his crib so that if he fell out, it wouldn't be like a hardwood floor underneath him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he tried to get out in the middle of the night in the dark, it could be hard. So we were just like, all right, this decision has been made for us.
Yeah.
So one day while he was out at school this week, I went and got the toddler rail conversion kit and swapped out the front railing. And it was actually like it took 10 minutes. It was so easy on this crib that we had. And I got the toddler rail on and it was like nothing happened. It was like that day he was excited to see it and he was like excited to jump in and out of bed. And so far, so good.
Good.
He has had zero negative reaction to it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. He's probably just like, oh, sweet. It's easier to get in and out of now.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the first night he did spend like 10 or 15 minutes like getting out of bed to get more books and bringing them into bed. But like, I mean, I don't really see that as a big difference from what he was doing. He would just like make me go get more books, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I do have to say that I think we like actually approached it accidentally, I should say. We accidentally approached it in the right way, in like the right order of operations, which is like we moved. We got him really comfortable in the new house. We got him really comfortable in his new room. We got him comfortable at school. We got him comfortable with his new brother. And then we also like got through all these like nighttime sleep regressions we had been having.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about like bothering him at like 10:30 so that he could like connect to sleep cycles, and also like all the bedtime stuff we've been doing where we do like the reverse check-ins. And, you know, we've like completely switched up our bedtime routine before we got him into the toddler bed.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, I think, worked in our favor because we had like gotten bedtime to like a good spot and then
right.
switched him. So we ironed out all those wrinkles. So it was really just dumb luck because we had done all that before he like forced our hand by climbing in
yeah.
and out. So, but yeah, so far so good. Knock on wood.
Good.
And, you know, hopefully it'll continue to be good. And, you know, the thing is, it was perfect timing too, because we did it, I think, on a Tuesday. And we were mm-hmm. leaving that Friday to go on this little weekend trip for my mom's birthday.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
And she had bought him like an inflatable toddler bed back when Sebastian was born. She thought like, oh, he'll take naps over at my rental and you guys can get rest. Like, yeah, sure.
Oh,
if you met
uh-huh.
Augie. Yeah. So it had just been sitting in storage, but I was like, perfect, we'll bring it out. And so we were able to use that on the trip. And he loved that. He thought that was super fun. And so,
cool.
Yeah. So that is a huge transition. And it's gone awesome so far. So I'm really, really happy about that.
Yay.
Yeah. But you know what? That's actually a lot of check-in. I feel like, don't you think that's like a big check-in?
It's a substantial check-in.
Yeah, and it should stand on its own. The baby was also there. Sorry, baby. I'll talk more about the baby in my BFPs and BFNs. And
okay.
That's where I'll talk about the trip. So,
cool.
But anyway, I think that I will talk about the trip in our final segment. And now it's time to move on to our special segment. What do you think?
Yeah. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and this week's special segment is Check in the Inbox. We reached out to you to see what your burning questions were for us, and we got so many good ones, as we usually do. So we are going to dive right in and answer your questions. Laura, what is our first question?
Okay, so our first question is from Arielle. She's wondering, is Shauna still paying for Cece's spot in preschool, and does the Omicron wave affect that at all?
Good question. I am not paying for her preschool anymore. We officially withdrew her. I know. I was keeping her on the roster for like the first month for September. And we were planning to keep her on the roster for at least like a month or two and then get her back into the class. But then like the Delta wave happened and I just didn't want to keep paying for something we weren't using. And also, remember, it was a co-op preschool, so I was required to do a certain amount of volunteering. And I was kind of like finding myself volunteering all through September for things like I was assigned to be the newsletter writer for the school. And I was suddenly on a committee for fundraising and all this stuff. And I was like, my kid's not even in this class. And I was like giving time.
Geez.
You know how much time I have. So not that I am opposed to volunteering if we end up going back to that school, but the fact that she just wasn't even going to class and I was still doing all of this, I was like, I think we're just going to hit the brakes on this completely. That's when I pulled her out, not paying anymore. And then we signed up for that Mommy and Me class that we do like once a week. So yeah, and Omicron, Yeah, I was planning on putting her in preschool maybe like in January or February of this year, like because numbers were looking really great. And of course, Omicron, like everybody's getting COVID right now. So we are still going to wait just a bit before we try to find her preschool. So yeah, that's where we're at.
Yeah. I mean, this is so inappropriate, but this whole Christmas season with the news, my brain has just been like doing, Omicron is coming to town. Omicron is coming to town. And like, I mean, I literally can't get it out of my head. And now you can. Yes. Congratulations, listeners.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's really sums up the holiday season. And it's makes me sad, but it is what it is. All right. Next question is from Alyssa. Laura, have your views or concerns surrounding COVID changed since your children had it?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. Yes and no. I think that since Augie and Sebastian had COVID, we did change our behavior a little bit in the immediate aftermath because we knew that they had a little bit of natural immunity. Because, you know, it was really rare, at least before Omicron, to get COVID like immediately after you had gotten it. Like usually you have a couple months of natural immunity. So it did like open up our lives a little bit. Like we started going to restaurants and stuff. Mm-hmm. And going into stores together, took Augie to Home Depot all the time. And, you know, it was lucky. We were very fortunate that it was very mild for both of them. But did it change my views on it? Not particularly. You know, we're still masking. I still believe in vaccines. And I think that the vaccines are the best bet we have for getting out of this thing. And I, you know, want everyone who's eligible to get their vaccines and their boosters. And I still think it's very serious. Like, I know that just because it was mild for us doesn't mean it's mild for everyone and doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't matter and everyone should just get it and it's not a big deal. Like, I know that's not true. So that's a yes and a no, Alyssa. Like, it did change our behavior a little bit. Now we've actually kind of started doing less now that their natural immunity has waned and that Omicron is showing up. So yeah, it's still a very fluid situation.
Are you still doing my gym?
We're actually not doing my gym right now for a couple of reasons. One is like we all had this cold, you know, my voice has been all fucked up for weeks. Like we all had this cold that was coming and going and it's not COVID. We tested a million times. Like it's not COVID. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it was worse than COVID was for the kids. Like, and for me, I didn't test positive for COVID when they had it. So I didn't get COVID last time. But you know what I'm saying is like, it was bad. So we hadn't gone to my gym for that reason. And then now Omicron cases are going up, up, up. And so we're just putting it on pause. We actually have our membership paused until February. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Next question is from Katie. Katie asks, when did your babies all say their first words and what were they?
Oh, I like this question. It makes me think back when the girls were just tiny little things and so cute. Elle said her first word when she was, I think, 9 months old. She said, hi. That was her first word. And Cece, if I remember correctly, was about 10 months old and she said, mama. And that one just really warmed my heart. Oh, so cute. What about yours? We know Sebastian, I think you recently said it was Dada, right?
Yeah, he's been saying Dada. I don't know what his first word was because he's the second kid and like I can't keep track of that shit. Uh-huh. He says Dada. He's starting to play with some other words, like he's trying to say cat, which is really cute. And you know, he's 10 months now. So he's right at that age where they're starting to really put words together. And with Augie, I actually think I talked about this on the podcast. I think his first word was also hi. And I think I got it on tape. Do you remember this?
No.
It's on our Instagram, my friend. If you scroll way back, there's a video of me walking into Augie's room and the cat follows me and he's standing at the edge of his crib in his little sleep sack and he goes, hi. And and I was like, oh, I don't know if that's a real word. And then he says it again and waves. I'm like, oh, okay, he's saying hi.
Yeah, that's cute. How old was he when he did that? I don't remember.
I think he was about 11 months, but you know, he might have been saying words before then that I didn't give him credit for.
True.
Because I didn't really know what to look out for. you know?
Yeah, you look out for it more when you have a second baby because mm-hmm. you've been through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
All right, that was a fun one. Here's another one. A couple people asked about this. Lauren and Kelsey are both wondering, is Augie still breastfeeding? How long are you planning to nurse him?
Yes, he is. And I have no fucking idea, Shauna. So he's almost three, and he's very emotionally attached to it. And when he was sick recently, like, I kind of let him have free rein. Like, I kept telling him, like, well, you're sick, so you can have boo-boo time whenever you want. And then I was also like, well, you're sick, so you can watch Chuck Tunes. And this kid has weaponized that. He now, like, mm-hmm. comes up to me, and he's like, I'm still sick, so I can watch Chuck Tunes. And we're like, no. He goes, I'm sick. I can have boo-boo time whenever I want.
Like, oh, yes.
So I'm now having to, like, enforce 1 to 2 times a day. Like, I think I'm finally getting down to 1 time a day. But I don't know, because I'm like, part of me is just like, maybe I should just cut him off. But I also know it's going to be so hard for him to see the baby nursing. Mm-hmm. And not be able to do it himself. And so I'm like, do I cut them both off at the same time? Like, the baby is, you know, going to be a year in February. Like, is that when I cut them both off? But at the same time, like, I don't want to have to cut the baby off at 12 months just because Augie's now, like, doing math and just breastfeeding. He's not doing math. I'm exaggerating.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'd love to hear from other people who maybe nursed longer than average to find out what they did, because I'm at a loss.
Do you think you would still be nursing Augie if there wasn't a second baby nursing?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Oh, it's so hard to imagine. I don't know. Probably. I mean, unless I was just super sick of it. I mean, to be fair, like, we were down to once a day or sometimes no times a day before the baby was born. So, mm-hmm. like, he would just forget. If he was busy, he would just forget. So maybe not. But yeah. When the baby was born, he was just, like, green-eyed, jealous monster, you know? He just had to have it. So, I don't know. I will definitely talk about it on the show, though. So don't worry. Just keep listening and you'll find out.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Next question. Okay. Angela asks, are either of you thinking of baby number 3? Oh, Shauna, we've talked about this on the show, I think, a fair amount. But it's always good to revisit, see if our thoughts yes. have changed.
Yes. Well, you know, I think about it in, like, the abstract, where I'm like, I would love to have another baby. And I'm like, if I were younger and richer, I would go for it. And I don't know. Steve's pretty much a hard no. I think I could be open to it. But also, I've had periods where I'm just like, I'm so glad I'm done, you know?
Yeah.
But then, like, a Facebook friend the other day has 2 girls my girl's age, and she just announced that she's pregnant with a 3rd girl. And I was overcome with jealousy. I was just like, no, I want to be the one who's pregnant with a 3rd girl. And I was like, whoa, Shauna, that reaction was surprising.
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I'm with you. I, like, logically, I know we're done. Emotionally, I, like, kind of know we're done. Like, from, like, I just don't know what else I have to spare. But, mm-hmm. like, hormonally, I would have lots more. Like, hormonally, I'm like, and it's so dumb, Shauna, because I'm, like, romanticizing being pregnant. And I hate that shit. You know what I mean? Like, I did not like it when I was pregnant. Either mm-hmm. time. And yet I'm still like, oh, but you have the bump and you're, so, I'm just like, what am I doing? Like, what are you doing, brain? No, mm-hmm. no, bad dog. So, yeah, I doubt it. If it happens by accident, I guess we'll see. But I don't think it will. I have a Mirena IUD. Like, I don't think it's going to happen by accident. But yes, with unlimited resources and time, absolutely. I'd have mm-hmm. 5.
Yeah, 7.
7. Maybe that might be enough.
Yeah.
Okay, so Schmilly on Instagram asks, how do you handle it when other moms compare their kids to yours?
This is a good question. And I'm trying to think of a situation where I've encountered another mom comparing their kids to mine.
Me? Like, all the time? When I'm, like, complaining about Augie not eating his food, and I'm like, your kids eat burritos? Cheetos. Your kids eat random whatever.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. So in those situations, I handle it by being supportive, because oftentimes when moms are comparing, it's because they're feeling insecure about whatever's going on in their own house or with their own kids. And I might have even said it on the show, and I could see myself saying something like, yeah, well, you know, all kids are different. They develop at different times. They have different interests. They have different strengths, you know, because thinking about it, I compare my girl, especially Cece, to Augie, right? Because of his voracious speech. And Cece seems a little behind with that. And it's true. Like we've talked about, like they are excelling at different things at different times. And I think the best way to approach it is with support, because that's all moms really need and want when it boils down to it. What about, what do you think?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like I've gotten it at my gym a lot because of Augie's like precocious speech. There will be like parents at my gym who will hear him just chattering away. And like, I've gotten this exact question so many times. How old is he? You know, like, because I'll be like, yeah. And they're like, oh my gosh, his speech is so clear. And I stop them every time. I'm like, yes, his speech is extremely clear. It's very precocious. Like, it's not something you should compare yourself against, like your kid against at all.
Yeah.
He's just, you know, a little advanced in that way and not in other ways, like sitting around circle time and actually cooperating, right? And participating and stuff. You know, like you said, every kid is different. I will say, if there's another mom who's comparing their kid to yours and like they're like, well, my kid eats all their vegetables, the way I would probably handle it would be like, well, the way I'd want to handle it is like, oh, yeah, fuck you.
Good for you.
Good for you. But yeah, thankfully no one's been that rude to me directly.
So same. I haven't had to.
Yeah. But I think you're right. Just offering support and saying all kids are different. And, you know, it's always, always, always a good time to check your own ableism for things like that, you know, because I think people sometimes will revert to like, well, they'll catch up or they'll develop at their own speed and, you know, they'll be speaking anytime now. And you know what? That might not be true for all kids. And that's okay. Like, that's okay too. So it's always a good time to check in on yourself and make sure your ableism isn't keeping you down.
Good advice. All right. Next question from Melissa. How do you see the podcast growing as your kids grow? BFP for teenager children? Smiley face. I love that.
I mean, honestly, sure. Like, I don't like to plan that far ahead. I don't know about you, Shauna, but like, I mean, I just don't really like planning that far ahead, because I feel like I know I don't have that level of control over what happens in life and in our future. And so personally, I feel like we're kind of taking it week by week and trying to just put out the best show we can for now. And we have no plans on stopping, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think for me, I definitely want to take it week by week or month by month, whatever. I don't want my kids to ever feel uncomfortable about me doing a show about them. So I think, you know, if they get a little bit older and they're like, oh, I don't really want you talking about me, I'm going to respect that. Like, I don't need to be talking about my kids and their problems and my problems with them publicly, I think. So I don't know. I'm just kind of waiting to see how it all goes.
Yeah, I think that's smart. And also, you know, we can always transition, figure out what our audience really wants from us. You know, like, I feel like we get great feedback from our listeners, and just trying to hear what they want to hear from us and what we can do to best support them, you know, while also respecting our kids' privacy, because that is a concern as they get older and more aware. You know, that actually leads into our final question for this.
Oh, okay.
Episode's check in the inbox. But you know what? We actually have more questions. We're going to split this up into two episodes because our listeners are so wonderful and they send us such wonderful questions.
Yeah.
But we have one more for this episode. And that is, when and how will you tell your kids they are the stars of a podcast?
Well, funny you should ask. Right as we were about to start recording, I had a little visitor into my booth, aka my recording closet, and she came up and I asked her that. So here, let's listen.
Okay.
Cece, do you know that you're the star of a podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, everyone knows about you.
Yeah, everyone knows about me too.
That's right. Do you like being the star of a podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah? You think it's pretty cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for recording with me.
Thanks.
I love you. I love having you be part of the podcast. Are you ready to go finish your Scooby-Dooby-Doos? See you in a little bit.
I'll see you in a little bit.
Okay. I love you.
Oh my gosh, she's so cute.
So I guess now she officially knows. The question is, does she know what the hell a podcast is? That's the real question.
Mm. That is the real question. Well, maybe I should go ask Sebastian because I can hear him crying right before his nap time. See if he understands that he is the star. It's so funny, too, because when I read that question, I was like, are they the stars of the podcast? Like,
I know, right? Hello, right here.
Is that selfish? Well, I just also feel like the way I approach this podcast is I talk about my experiences as a mother and how the kids play into that, not I talk about Augie and Sebastian. And,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I try to center it on me and have them be a part of that world. But, like, I don't want it to, I don't want them to grow up and be like, wait, you had a podcast about me? Like, in my mind, it's not about them. It's about us. It's about our friendship and our matrescence. Do you know that word?
No.
Oh, it's the, like, birthing of a mother. Matrescence or matrescence. Oh. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. But it's, like, the term that has been coined to explain what happens when a person becomes a mother. It's your matrescence. And so I think about it as like a document of my matrescence, right? Not all about the kids.
Absolutely. They're supporting actors in this whole shebang.
Sorry, kids.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know that Elle specifically knows that I talk about her on here. So, I mean, I'm fine letting them know, you know, that that's what this is about. I guess it just has never come up because they've never listened to a podcast. Like I said, I don't think they really even understand, although they have listened to ours podcast kind of in the background. They know I play it for the dogs.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe I'll go and tell Elle later today.
Well, maybe you shouldn't get it on tape because like, if you do, I'm not going to fault you for that.
All right. Maybe or maybe not. I will get it on tape.
Okay. Well, I think that's it for this special segment.
Yay.
Shall we take a break and come back with our BFPs and BFNs?
Let's do it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners, this episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With Lolavie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the ringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter Lolavie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at lolavie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
Lolavie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at lolavie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at lolavie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, we are back and we close every episode with a big fat positive or a big fat negative from the week. Shauna, what you got? BFP or BFN?
I have a BFP.
Good.
Yeah. So anytime I discover a food that my kids love, that's a huge BFP in my house.
Yes.
And I actually discovered their love of this a few weeks ago, but I tried it again this week and they still like it. It's stuck. So okay. I'm very excited about this new discovery. It is ginger miso broth from Trader Joe's. Yeah.
Oh, Shauna. I mean, like, I would love more than anything to have this work. And I'm going to try it. Like, everything. I try everything you recommend. Except, yeah. Okay. Anyway, go on. Ginger. Sounds good for me. I'd love to have this. So ginger miso broth.
Yeah, it's really good. The reason I bought it, okay, so I've mentioned before, like, I was having some GI problems, right?
Yeah.
That led me to get a colonoscopy a while ago, which, like, I didn't talk about on the show because, whatever, it's not a fun thing and it's not really relevant, but it's relevant now because when you prepare for a colonoscopy, you have to have, like, 2 days of just liquid diet basically to prepare, and it sucked. It was a complete nightmare. But in order to prepare, I went to Trader Joe's and just got every liquidy thing I could think of that would be interesting for me to have for 2 days. So I got, like, different juices, different sparkling waters, different broth, blah blah blah. I was like, oh, ginger miso broth, okay, whatever. I threw it in the cart. And for lunch the day before my colonoscopy, I, like, just have a bowl of liquid broth. And Cece was like, what's that? I was like, oh, it's just ginger miso broth. She's like, I want some. I'm like, okay, you want to try it? She's like, and made me pour her a big bowl of it. She was, like, slurping it like it was the most delicious thing in the world. It was like, like, literally saying after every bite and then, like, picking up a bowl and drinking it. I was like, wow, you really like it. And Elle came home later and was like, oh, what's that? And I was like, that it's broth. And she loved it too. And I was like, okay, I guess you guys really love this. And so recently I went again and I was like, well, maybe I'll get that and some dumplings or, you know, something from the frozen section, make, like, a substantial soup. And again, they were just slurping it down like it was the most delicious thing in the world. So
all right.
I mean, I liked it too. It was good, but I was shocked at how much my kids loved it. So I'm just putting it out there in case anyone else wants to give it a whirl.
I'm going to try it. Like I said, I always try everything. I'm still on the hunt for freaking baby corn, which our listeners have been so helpful in telling me, like, it's always in, like, international foods, Asian food section. I still haven't been able to find it. So
oh my gosh.
Stand by for updates on that because, like, I am on a quest.
Okay. Well, if I see in my area, I will pick some up for you.
Please
make
do.
It a point to deliver it to you.
Please do. But yeah, this is next on my list of things I'm willing to try with Augie, who eats like five things. So
yeah, give it a try. All right. So that's mine. What do you got for us?
I have a BFP, which I more than hinted at in our check-in, which was our trip to Newport Beach with Grandma. Oh,
fun.
And it wasn't just a trip with Grandma. It was a trip with Grand Doodles as well, my stepdad, Neil. And, you know, okay, so I actually had a moment where I was like, should this be a BFP or a BFN? Because it was not an easy trip whatsoever. I was sick. I keep getting this weird sinus infection thing, as you can hear in my voice, like that won't go away. I tested for COVID, not COVID. Like, it's just a me thing. It's just something going on with my sinuses. So I went on this trip anyway, even though I wasn't feeling great. And it was hard. And Sebastian did not sleep well on this trip. Like, I forgot your tip about like getting the heavy duty black trash bags to put on the windows, and like,
oh yeah,
the light was all messed up in the rooms, but I was sick and not feeling like up to going and trying to get things at stores, and it was just like a mess, right? He ended up being up like two or three times both nights we were there, and I was fucking exhausted and whatnot. But all that aside, it was a complete BFP because not only did I get to spend my mom's birthday with her, her 75th birthday, which is like a big deal.
Yeah.
But we got to spend some like really, really good quality time with both her and my stepdad. And we got to do it in a literal beachfront condo. Like, we were facing the ocean, and Newport Beach has this huge sandy beach, right? So it's like, you know, I don't know, 200 yards of sand or something. I don't know. It's, you know what it's like there. It's like these really, really long sandy beaches. And Augie and Sebastian were just like beside themselves with how happy they were on this trip.
Aww.
Like, Augie could not spend enough time out on the beach. And it was cold. It was like, you know, highs in the low 60s, which I know everyone in the rest of the world is going to be like, that's not cold. But like,
right,
it's chilly to be on the beach at 8 a.m. when it's like 50 degrees outside, you know?
Yeah.
But Augie just, he couldn't get enough of it. And he was so happy. And my mom got him this little like wetsuit to wear so he could get in the water. She failed to get me a wetsuit. So like I had to go in the water to hold him. And, you know, we're like talking about up to my knees at best. But did I send you a picture of him in his wetsuit?
No, I need to see it.
Yes, I'm going to send you this picture of him in his wetsuit. I was super skeptical when my mom's like, I'm going to go on Amazon. I'm going to get him all these things. And I'm like, he doesn't need all this stuff. He doesn't need a wetsuit. It probably won't fit him. Like, I was really like poo-pooing the whole idea. And I'm here to admit that I was wrong, because he fucking loved this wetsuit. He loved all the beach toys she got him. He was just so happy. So here, let me show you. Okay, here's one of him modeling his little wetsuit.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. That is full body, long sleeves, long pants. He looks like a surfer dude. That's perfect.
Little like sandy blonde hair. And yeah, he totally looks like a surfer dude.
Oh,
he is such a beach dude. He loved the water. I'm going to send you a picture of Sebastian, who was a little more skeptical of the ocean.
Oh, he's so cute. You're holding him. You guys are in the water. He's definitely clinging to your shirt real hard.
Yes. He has a healthy fear of the water. But what he didn't have a fear of was the sandy beach. He was into that shit. So I'm going to send you a picture of him happy on the beach.
Okay.
Okay. Here is my little beach baby.
Yeah. Oh, yes. He's lying down in the sand, looking up toward the sky. He is loving it.
Loving it. And to be honest, I was impressed with how little sand he tried to eat.
Oh, good. Yeah, that is a problem with babies in the beach.
Yeah, yeah. I think he figured out real quick that it wasn't delicious.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he did his like monkey crawl all over the beach. It was so cute. And yeah, we just had a somewhat challenging time, but also a very, very fun time. And, you know, looking back on it now that I'm sort of through it and we're back home.
Mm-hmm.
It was totally worth it. And also, I don't want to go anywhere ever again.
At least not while you're sick.
Yeah, the sickness thing. And having small kids and traveling is really, really hard. And we only went like 2 hours to the beach, you know? Mm-hmm. It has made us rethink a trip to Mammoth that we were planning on doing, which is like a ski area about 5 hours
Yikes.
Away. Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I think we're gonna let Corey and his brother do that by themselves, and I'll just fly. It's easier to fly solo with two kids than to travel with them. So, yeah. But yeah, that's my BFB. We had a really nice trip and, you know, made some cherished memories that are totally worth it, despite the sleep deprivation and the sinus infection.
Aw, well, it sounds really fun, and it makes me want to go to the beach because my kids love it so much, too. And we need to get back there.
I still think we need to take like a family's vacation to the beach, all of us. Maybe we should do that for my 40th birthday that's coming up next year.
Ooh, that would be so fun.
That would be so fun. All right, well, we got to talk about that.
Okay.
But I think we should probably do that on our own time and not have our listeners scroll through Airbnb with us.
Sounds like a plan.
Oh, but you know what we should scroll through is our reviews and find a 5-star review to read to our listeners.
Yes, let's do that.
I think it's my turn this week, right?
Sounds about right.
Okay, here's one. Oh, this one is from Great Britain. We do have a lot of UK listeners. So I'm going to read this and do a shout out to our UK listeners. It's from a username JOH2566. I don't know who you are or what your name is, but this listener says, "A big fat listen, 5 stars. This podcast has gotten me through a very lonely pregnancy due to the pandemic. There's so many reasons to listen to this podcast, but the main one is that it's really relatable for normal human parents. Bored of the super moms, celeb moms, and earth mothers. These ladies are real, simply real. Thank you, ladies."
That was a wonderful review, and that makes me feel so good. We're real moms. Yay.
I can attest we are real. We are not artificial intelligence. We are not bots.
Mm-hmm. That
and,
is true.
Yes. And I don't think we're celebrities.
No. Not yet. Not yet. I mean, give us a couple years.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we should wrap up the show.
Yes, we should. Listeners, if you want to leave us a 5-star review, please do, and we might read it on the show. So head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your pods and leave us a review. And if you have any other check in the inbox questions, burning questions that you have for us, please reach out. We love hearing from you. Laura, where can they reach us?
We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. You know, I love that TikTok, at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And if you want to send us an email, you can always include a voice memo. Just send it to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. Finally, if you want to join a super cool group of people on the internet, just search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community, request to join. Make sure you answer those 2 questions so we know you're not a robot. And we'll send you straight through to our very real community full of very real people.
Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.